The question today is, what does the Bible say about offense and being offended? We said that sometimes the Bible uses the word offend to mean sin. Sometimes it means to cast a stumbling block, be a stumbling block, or to stumble over an obstacle in the way. And that's what the questioner wanted to deal with on this question. What does the Bible say about offense and being offended? And so we're warned not to offend or put a stumbling block before others. We dealt with that. Mark them. Avoid those who do. We also realize we're warned not to be an offense ourselves. And Paul said, if it offend my brother to eat meat, I won't eat meat, even though it was scripturally okay to eat meat sacrificed to idols. But he didn't want to offend anyone or cause them to stumble, a young Christian or a person that had those convictions. And the Lord gave instructions to keep from being offended. In other words, he sent the Holy Spirit to instruct us and guide us. And offense even comes from your own faculties, not just from others. As it talks about, we're controlled by the flesh, the world, and the devil. And it causes us to stumble ourselves over things that our flesh puts in the way. And we said truth offends. Jesus is truth, and he was an offense to others. Preaching of the cross, which is connected to the Lord Jesus, for that's why he came, is a stumbling block to many people, because the Jews missed out on Jesus as the Christ or the Messiah because they could not believe that the Messiah would suffer such humiliation. But we also said that the lordship of Jesus, the requirement for to take a eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, which means wholehearted reception of Jesus as Lord, is too much for some to pay. Like in John 6, they turned and walked no more with him. And the Bible makes it very clear for us to really be saved. Discipleship, it talks about, not that some second work of grace, but the point of salvation. We must take Jesus as Lord, and as a result of that, it offends so many because they don't want a boss. And Jesus said in Luke 14, we must love him supremely. We must bear a cross and forsake everything. And then we said that persecution offends. Jesus told his disciples that they'd be offended of him that very night, that he went to the garden and was going to the cross the next day. And they were. All of them left him because they faced being killed, and persecution offended them. And one offended, we said, is hard to be reached. As we read Proverbs, it talked about how 18:19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. We spoke about that and talked about Hebrews 6, 4, and 6, and realizing if a person's been offended, harder to be won as a city that's walled up and got bars of a castle, hard to get in. And it's hard to be reached because, in fact, you'll find that when man utterly falls away, as Hebrews 6, 4, and 6 said, he said it's really impossible to be reached because they've been offended. Now, let's read Hebrews 6, 4, and 6 again. I didn't read it all, but it said, "For it's impossible for those." Now, he changed the wording from "we" and "us," which means the saved folk, to "those," meaning these folks are not saved. Many people want to say, well, Hebrews 6, 4, and 6 applies to a saved person, and they can lose their salvation after they're saved. Not so. This is one who's turned from the broad way, come to the narrow way, and may have made a profession, but yet what happened was he said, "For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened," they've been awakened to their need, "and have tasted the heavenly gift." You can taste and not partake. "And we're made partakers of the Holy Ghost." That means, the word partakers means to go along with. In Holy Ghost reproval, conviction, godly sorrow. You go along with him as he begins to work on you. And he says, "And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come." Taste, but not yet partook of that. Now it says, "If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance." Now what it says, tie that with verse 4, "For it's impossible for those who really enjoyed the closeness, the work of God in their lives, in the narrow way that leads to the straight gate, but if they fall away," and this means to utterly fall away, stumble over the impediment that's been placed in their way, the stumbling blocks, whatever it may be. And folks, these are no ordinary professors. They tasted, they've sat in services where the power of God moved. They've had They've experienced enlightenment. They've had some understanding, but yet they're not willing to pay the price, and they fall back to the broad way. And when they utterly do that, now you can go back and forth several times and still be saved, but these were those who utterly fell away. In other words, they utterly fell away. No ordinary professor, but they're hard to be reached. In fact, it's impossible once they totally fall away. Because he said, one offended is hard to be reached. Now, let me say this. You don't have to be offended. You don't have to be offended. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 10. Writing to the saints of God, he said, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him." In other words, the love of God's been shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost who's given to him, Romans 5:5. And he said, there's none occasion of stumbling in him. There's no reason for that person to be offended, is what he said. Jude 24, he said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." In other words, he's going to keep you from falling. The word falling is to stumble. In other words, not even stumble your toe. He's able. He's able to keep you from doing that. So there's no, you don't have to be offended. Bible says this in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 5 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. He said, he's writing to the saints of God, and he says there, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Now he talks about if you're saved, you've got a foundation of faith, add to that foundation, and you add by faith, by the way, but you add virtue, excellent courage, and to that you add knowledge, and courage seasoned by insight and understanding, and to that you add temperance, self-control by aid of the Holy Spirit, and you add patience, the quality of the individual who does not surrender to the circumstances or succumb to the trials, and you add godliness, in other words, being like Him, like He would have you to, obedience in the Lordship of Jesus, and then brotherly kindness, that's loving your brother, reaching out horizontally, and charity means you reaching up to loving of God, the agape kind of love, and it causes you to have love in action toward others and toward God, and you walk in liberty. Now, he said in verse 10 then of this chapter, if you have these things, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Know you're saved, know you're in the will of God." So all that simply means, "For if you do these things," talking about these things of verse 5 through 8 that we just read, 5 through 7 that we just read about, and then he said, "Ye shall never fall." There's none occasion of stumbling in you, is what it amounts to. In other words, you'll never stumble. And so you don't have to be offended. You don't have to stumble. And then blessed you are if you're not offended. The Bible said in Luke chapter 7, verse number 23, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." That word blessed means to be supremely blessed or prosperous, spiritually prosperous. It means, oh, happy is the man who's not offended in him. Now, that even applies to the one that's on the narrow way leading to the straight gate. Remember we read about the stony ground here who's offended because of his identification for the word's sake, and he falls away by the wayside. He falls away. And it's impossible once you utterly fall away to come back. But if you're not offended, you're blessed. It says if you are offended, you won't be blessed because you're being bound up like bars of a castle. And that's a dangerous place to be. You better check up to see if you're really saved or not, if you really get offended. Now, you may use some other term for the word offended, but if you really get offended, you better really check up to see if you're really saved or not. And you realize something, if you are offended, you just announced that you do not love the Word of God. The Bible said in Psalms 119, 165, he said, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Not one thing shall offend them. You see, the law is the Word of God. And if we don't, if we get offended at anything that's said, even if it's error, it should not offend us. It should make us mark someone and stand where we need to stand and be what we need to be, but to stumble over Christ, to stumble over truth, and in other words, to falter and fail and turn away from what God's done in our life, oh no, we shouldn't be offended in that. You see, if we've really been saved by the grace of God, and if we really love the Word of God, we won't be offended. Now, we're warned not to cause offense, yet the Lord said it would come. There were many offended at Jesus preaching. Now, I imagine he'd offend a lot of people today if he was to preach, and many of them turned and walked no more with him in John 6. And there will be many offended at the preaching of the truth. And I want to say this, if I offend you, woe is me. But if the truth I preach offend you, woe be you. You see, when Paul spoke of not eating meat, if it offended another, he was not talking about compromising the truth. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 8 through 10, as Paul said this to the church at Galatia, he's marveled that they're so soon removed from the gospel to another, which is not of the saving kind. But verse 8 said, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Just let him go on to hell if you do not preach the gospel of Christ, which is the death, burial, and resurrection, we say, but yet it involves the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his ministry of intercession, the sanctification work of the Spirit that must be complete in all three areas of John 16, 8, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And also it must include that Jesus Christ is bodily coming back again one day. Now, we may not know who all the 10 toes of Daniel's image are, may not know all the ins and outs, but if you deny that Jesus is coming back again bodily one day, then you've got another gospel. And Paul said, just let him go into hell. You're preaching another gospel if you propagate that. But you see, he's not talking about compromising the truth when he talked about trying not to offend someone else. So, in fact, he said in verse number 10 of Galatians 1, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant to Christ." And to that I'll have to say, amen, amen. And that goes for me too. May God help us not to be an offense. But woe is me if I offend you. But if the truth I offend you, truth I preach offends you, then woe be you. May God help us not to be offended, but to love the Word of God and enjoy the peace that Psalm 119:165 says we'll have. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air. Or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.